We're on page 126 in document 13. Go back a page because we've just introduced James 5:7. It reads this way in the New American Standard. We noted this in closing last Sunday, but we didn't get very far with it, so I want to remind you of where we are. And by the way, when we get done with James chapter 5, therefore it will complete our study of this letter. The letter goes five chapters. The fifth chapter has 20 verses, and so we're wading through each and every one of them. By the time we're done, I will do a book on the letter of James, and it will include the expanded translation of the letter. So in James chapter 5, verse 7, we have the following. Therefore, be patient. That's the constative, aorist, active, indicative. That's number 42 of the imperative moods we're noting. Therefore, be patient. This is makrothumeo. Be patient, brethren, in other words, believers, until the coming, parousia. That's the rapture of the church in context, and therefore that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. The next prophetic event on the calendar is the rapture. It could occur at any moment, but don't get your hopes up. We've got some things going on in client nation America right now that may ultimately lead to the end of our freedoms. But we do have the opportunity to go to churches and study. But also I've noticed over the course of, let's say, the last 2 to 3 years, that there's a loss of thought among the Christian community of the client nation. It turned out that we are being slowly but surely conquered from within. It was not done overnight. It had taken so far about 6 to 8 years. And the dark side is making its advances. They are therefore shutting down freedoms in very varied and sundered ways. And we still are able to gather in local churches for those who are interested in the study of the exegesis of the Word of God. I don't really think that we should be upset with the current administration. They're doing their duty. This is the devil's world. Lucifer runs the show, always has. Ever since Eden, he's been the leader of the dark side. He is the, the seraph rank angel that fell. You're not dealing with a dummy. And he knows how to propagandize. And he therefore is able to use human acolytes in order to do his bidding over time. He's been very successful. It started with client nation SPQR, the very first client nation after the Jews gave up the ghost as far as priest nations were concerned. Client nations didn't do well in the Far East. Didn't do well because they lost the thought. And it gave those who were believers the desire to continue to grow in grace the opportunity to move westward and continue to do so until they ran into the Atlantic Ocean. And then there was England. England didn't do well, although it held out for a time. And then somebody got in a boat and paddled to Massachusetts and set up shop there. That was not a good sign to start with. Nevertheless, they dug in Massachusetts, set up shop there. The seed pod for a client nation in the West. Held out pretty good for 250 years. And as I look at you, and by the way, I'm excited the fact that you're here. But there's a lot of missing people. And that's okay because I understand why they're not here. Dark side takes shall we say, losers. It's normal. Normal in the sense that in a land of freedom, systematically, slowly but systematically, over the last, I would say, 6 to 8 years, shrinkage has occurred because of the loss of thought in Christendom. You can get in your car when you go home and be aware of the churches you'll pass on the way. Their parking lots will be full. There's a lot of yammering going on in those places. I've been to them many long years ago. I was involved in having to go to a few of them. Not much is going on inside. Yet the people show up, and they're not pivot. So if you think I'm upset, I'm not upset about the people who are not here. I am absolutely stunned at how quickly the dark side has taken over the client nation. The country is being run by, I think, brilliant people. You can't take down a client nation in 3 years without brilliant people being involved. They know how to operate in the dark side. They're emissaries of Luciferian strategies. They've been at it, I would guess, somewhere in the neighborhood of the current zeitgeist about 7 years, with an interlude of four. We are being conquered, not by adversaries like Putin and Xi, but by our own people. Yet you show up. Good morning. You're all here because you find that the power of the Word of God is the only avenue by which the dark side can be in some way delayed. It'll never be stopped, but it can be delayed, and that's the responsibility of a client nation. So, good morning. I'm not in any way besmirching you guys. You show up. But there are more empty seats here than there are occupiers. And there's nothing new about that. It all started, I would say, in the latter stages of 2019. The question you can pose is where the people go. Why are they gone? What motivated the exodus? And then you say, well, it's just because of this area here. No, I've done the research, and Gary has helped me. Gary rides around all over the country. He is an evangelist. He goes into prisons and speaks to people there. By the way, the prisoners are very positive toward Gary's doctrinal classes inside prisons. We should let those people out. But he gets around and he travels with Bobby, and they go to these conferences that Bobby has. And in doing so, Bobby is able to talk to people who go to doctrinal churches around the country. They tell the same story. So here's what I'm saying to you, the loyal ones who show up to listen to my boring Bible classes. Doctrine is not boring if you're positive, but it is serious. And I intend, if I can get through the next year, all the way down to January of 25, that'll be the 40th anniversary of my being here. And when we get to the last verse of James chapter 5, verse 20, I'll do an expanded translation of the entire book. And then I'll look at Mama and I'll say, Mama, we put in our duty here. We're going to ride off into the sunset. Unless I change my mind. But I am hell-bent and determined to finish James. That's my goal. And in that process, what we're going to have to endure as members of the royal family of God is the slow destruction and overthrow of this client nation. And you must understand that you're not wanted here. There are others who have realized they're not wanted and have decided to sequester themselves elsewhere. Thus not front rankers. You have to be willing to get inside the bubble and keep moving forward toward the enemy. The enemy is Luciferian propaganda. You're being led politically by those who are being motivated and encouraged by the dark side to overthrow the client nation. And they know how to do it, and they're underway. And there's nothing new or different about that. It goes all the way back to SPQR. Although they held on for about a millennium, they lost the thought and pushed the client nation westward. And then it meandered its way around, then to Massachusetts. That should have been a clue right there. But nevertheless, all the way to Massachusetts. And it's therefore held forth here since 1620. So now we take a look at James 5:7. We're almost done with James, half-brother of Jesus. Here's what he's got to say. Therefore, be patient. Constantive, aorist, active, imperative, number 42 of the verb makrothumeo. And it says, brethren, means members of the royal family, until the coming, parousia. The coming here is the rapture of the church in context, and therefore that is initiated by Jesus Christ. He will arrive in the air, he will come back, and he will get his people and take them with him. It's called the rapture of the church. The coming of the Lord. Then it goes on to say, the farmer waits. Customary present middle indicative of the verb ekdekamai, for the precious produce of the soil. That's gay, by the way. Soil is gay, and it has to do with the earth. Therefore, in context, the land of Israel. Constantly being patient, present active participle of the verb makrothumeo, being patient over until, constantly being patient over until the early and latter rains. That's an agrarian society. And if you live in Israel, and we'll get to it again, I've taught you a little bit about the environment of Israel at the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea and the other smaller seas around it, but it affects their rainfall. I want to go back and remind you briefly of that in our studies today, so that when we get there, you'll be reminded of the environment in which Jesus Christ functioned during his public ministry. We expect rain to fall. We used to, we had crops. I don't know what they're doing now, but we used to have crops out west. Hundreds of thousands of acres to grow food. God put an entire continent available for us smack dab in the middle of it. Most of it was open prairie where you could grow food. That's where a client nation can therefore become very prosperous. Now let's take a look at dispensations. Well, I guess we won't do that. Oh, I forgot I had a picture. I won't sing the song, but I did sing it yesterday. And Nick Saban has just won yet another Southeastern Conference championship. And Kirby Smart was his defensive coordinator at Alabama for quite a number of years and very good at it. Then he got a job in Georgia and has been over there, and he's won some national championships. Saban's got 8. He's got something like 3. That's good. But nevertheless, I stood and saluted and sang Yay Alabama yesterday at the close of the 27-24 ball game. Keep it like that. So I thought I'd show a picture anyhow. But that's Nick Saban right there. Yeah. This guy right there. I was told all I had to do was slide around and things would show up. Oh, dispensations. I want to talk to you about dispensations. This thing's a little screwy today, so I'll be slapping around, but maybe the techie people can figure this out later. I am absolutely confident, without pause and without stutter, that if you don't understand dispensations, you can't grow in grace. If you don't know what time it is, you don't know what's going on around you. We're in the dispensation, we're in the Christocentric dispensation of the church. It was organized by Jesus Christ, and when he comes back, he'll put a closing prayer on it. Could happen any day. The imminency of the rapture. Now let me ask you this. Do you understand dispensational theology? Well, if you've been in this church long enough, you either understand it or you said, I don't believe that, and you hit the front door. We have 8 exits, so if you want to get out of here, halftime, there's some over here, some around yonder, 8 of them. And then we'll come back for the second session, see who's left. But theocentric has to do, first of all, with Gentiles and then Israel. Dispensation of Israel. Jesus Christ came and he had a dispensation called the Incarnation. He had a number of things to say from birth up until his ascension. Then what he left behind was the church. James wrote his letter somewhere in the neighborhood of 40-ish. A.D. So that had to be the dispensation of the church. So then we're going to click along until the tribulation occurs. There are a certain number of years assigned to the dispensation of Israel. That dispensation has been put on hold. The church did that. It's a parenthetical dispensation. If you can understand, there's a dispensation of Israel, and then all of a sudden, after 470 years, right smack dab in the middle of it is a parenthesis, and that's the mystery dispensation of the church, and it will be terminated by Jesus Christ at the second advent, first advent, and when he does the first advent post his resurrection. When he comes back, he's going to be in the air, and he will take each and every one of you with him. How do I know that? Because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then when he comes back, those in the graves go first. And then in a yacto second, those who are alive will follow in line. Could happen any day. Now, you can't pray for the rapture. It's a scheduled event. But I will just suggest this. that there will come a day when things are so obnoxious and the pivot is so suppressed that Jesus Christ will come back and get us. Now, you may pose the question, is that what's going on now? No, this is called the fall of a client nation. That's happened before. And therefore, we're not immune to that, are we? And so you look out the door, wherever you are, and you see, with all the media we have, that things are not doing well for client nation America. We are being taken down from within. Not by the Russians, not by the Chinese, nor the Hutus. We're being taken over from within by our own people because they lost the thought. When they lose the thought, then it's in danger of following all of the previous client nations all the way back to SPQR. Now, are you upset about this? You know, you're front rankers. You are the few who remain behind, willing to take in the Word of God exegetically and consistently over time. Therefore, never fear. You don't have that option. So you show up. Yet, the tribulation is on the agenda. 7 years. The last 7 years of the dispensation of Israel. And so when that is over, we have the baptisms of fire that will last for 75 days and then the millennial kingdom. This is where you get to grin. Oh, it's going to get better? Yes. There it is, way out yonder for at least 7 years and one day. Will it be today? Don't know, but it's on that agenda. Could be any day. This is where we live. You understand dispensations. You know what's going on around you. Why is it that this is still the church age, but yet there are machinations afoot that pretend to be inching toward the tribulation? Don't know, but nevertheless, there it is, and we have it in James 5, 7, don't we? So there are the dispensations. The phrase, until the coming of the Lord, refers to the rapture of the church. The word until is the preposition of the genitive of time, which is heos. The word is the prophecy that indicates the future termination of the church age. How about that? The future termination. The termination is one yakto second. Jesus arrives and whammo, you're out of Dodge. I would hope to see a lot of grins about that. Now, I'm older than dirt. So I don't know if I will last long enough to when the rapture is going to occur, although it's the next prophetic event on the calendar. And there's nothing that has to occur before Jesus comes back. He could have come back 45 minutes after his ascension because the next prophetic event after he ascended was the rapture of the church. But he wanted to accumulate a royal family, so there. So again, let's look at this. This word is the prophecy, heos, the prophecy that indicates the future termination of the church age. It's always future until it happens, but there's nothing that has to occur beforehand that would intervene. It's just next on the agenda. This is indicated by the noun parousia, the coming, followed by the phrase of the Lord. Now, the synopsis this passage in James is provided by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, which read this way. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So do you know people who have died, though were also believers? Okay, well, they get to go first. Verse 17. Then we who are alive, that'd be all of y'all now, all of you who are alive, who are left, will be suddenly caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. A little applause. Always. Could happen any day. Now, all you have to do to be in that exit visa is place your personal faith in Christ. Do you have to grow in grace? No. You have eternal life the day you believed in Christ. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of God the Father, indwelling of Christ. That's who you are. And you have to study doctrine to learn that, but it's still true. So this passage describes the events when the body of Christ, the church, becomes the bride of Christ. Please note this. I mentioned it previously, but I want to remind you, especially those of the Dorito congregation. The doctrine of the rapture of the church is the event which introduced the 2023 Shreveport Bible Conference. I named it the Eschatological Dispensations at East Ridge Bible Church. The rapture is the next event on the prophetic calendar, followed sequentially by the seven-year dispensation of the tribulation, the second advent of Jesus Christ, the dispensation of the millennial kingdom, and that's, of course, of Christ, and finally, the eternal state. Now, for the complete study, click on the link below for the 2023 Shreveport Bible Conference, the Eschatological Dispensations. Hit the link, and there are 6 hours for you to peruse. Let's just note that as long as the church age is operational, let's repeat this. It is imperative that all believers become capitalists. We live in it used to be a capitalistic society. God knows what it is now, but nevertheless, it's fading. Capitalism is fading. Those that want to take over the country want to do away with capitalism. They want to run everything, and they'll let you do what they allow you to do. That's not capitalism. Nevertheless, here we go. It is imperative that all believers become capitalists, however, in their souls. We'll explain as we go along. And the way you become a capitalist in the priesthood of the believer is to remember that the church age is the dispensation of the universal priesthood of the believer. If you're a member of the royal family of God, then you're in that system. And therefore, you should be a capitalist, because that's free will. You can play or not, but nevertheless, that's the environment for a client nation. Every believer is a priest. Every believer is indwelt by Jesus Christ. Every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Every believer is in union with Christ. Every believer has the canon of Scripture in writing, which is protected, permanent, and inviolate. Consequently, every believer has the phenomenal opportunity to be a capitalist, a super grace capitalist with Bible doctrine resident in his soul. If you are a believer, then you have the opportunity to be a capitalist. You are one by definition, you be one by application. And you do that by studying the Word of God, acquiring in your souls all of the evidences of a free life, your volition runs the show. And you're free to do that. And you can be a loser, you can be a winner, or somewhere in between, but your volition is free. And there are those who want to suppress your free will, and they're doing it now. Don't let them have your soul. From this, we have an illustration. The pattern of verse 7 leads to a repetition of the command with a demonstrative particle, idu, plus the aorist middle imperative of the verb horao. It means to see. And this is a command to get a panoramic view or to refocus your attention. Focus on something. So we have to find out what we're focusing upon. This demonstrative particle is designed to enliven the narrative by arousing one's attention by way of introducing an illustration to understand something in life, something that is easily understood. So you have to concentrate. You have to focus your attention. You have to be interested in the subject. And then you have to cogitate on what's being communicated, aggrandize it for application. And that's the duty of each individual believer. You have your own free will. You can accept or reject. You can grow in grace or not. You can go to happy clappies, or you can be bored in a Bible class like this one. But boring is imperative if you're not interested. And I guarantee you, I could go to these happy clappy churches and you let me get in their pulpit for 5 minutes. I swear to you, it'll be true. If I can get in their pulpit for 5 minutes, they'll be heading toward the door. Because I am unequivocally the most boring pastor in America. I can bore you within 5 minutes. And then they'll testify going out the door, that's the most boring pastor I ever saw. He's boring. How do you know? I sat there and squirmed for 5 minutes and couldn't take it anymore. So with this demonstrative particle is designed to enliven the narrative by arousing one's attention by way of introducing an illustration to understand something in life, something that is very easily understood. Let's go to the King James Version, since it is thundering. It reads this way, James 5:7, be patient. So let's exegete a little. Aorist active imperative of the verb makra thumeo. We just saw that in the expanded translation on the other page. Be patient, that's exercising understanding and patience. Therefore, brethren, that's King James. That means believers. Every other believer is your brother or your sister. Got that? I just find that interesting. I was reared in a Baptist church, and therefore when you went there, everybody else was a member of the Baptist church too. Sort of like here, you're a member of Grace Doctrine Church. So all these people around here that you're looking at are brothers and sisters. How is that possible? I don't have any siblings, so I don't have any brothers or sisters. But here seated are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I know you don't like that. Boring. But we all have the same attributes. What do we possess, though, that isolates us and differentiates us from others? Your inventory of ideas. How do you think? What is it that you know? These experiences were run in my life when I was somewhere in the neighborhood of six-ish. They said, Joe, in September you're going to go to school. And I said, what school? They said, well, you're going to go to a place to learn things. And there's a lady going to stand up in the front of the room and she's going to tell you things that you need to know. And I'll say, who is it? I said, Mrs. Maureen or whatever it was. So I went, and there she was. And that began my academic career. And on the first day out, I started thinking, they're trying to kill me. I hope that woman dies in a fire. When can I get out of here? How did this happen to me? And I looked around, and there were other people, other slaves that were in there. And I had to be quiet, you know, no talking, no moving around, no cutting your eyes toward the door, looking at the clock, none of that. I became a good clock watcher. I knew when the bell would go off, and I would count minute by minute as the sweep hand would just eke its way around. That was my life in school. Oh, I see none of you have ever experienced anything like that. Well, 1900 years ago, it was very understandable what was meant by Georgos. It means husbandman. You know, anybody know what a husbandman is? Because in the Greek, it means farmer. Farmer. Someone who owned a lot of land and used that land for agrarian source of income. So he's a capitalist, you see, but an agrarian capitalist. We got a guy to look at now who is a farmer. And what is the farmer here? Georgos, the man who plows. You've got to get the seed in the ground. And if you can get the seed in the ground and wait for the early and latter rains, and up comes groceries. And then when the groceries arrive, at a certain point, you say, okay, it's time to do the harvest. That means you got to have people go out there where all of these pieces of fruit are growing, whatever they are, and pull them out of the fields and get them on wagons and take them to the back door of the grocery store. There, you will find a guy waiting to get the groceries to pull in the back door, put them on tables and such inside so that folks can come in the front door and buy food. I love Dierbergs. It's a grocery store. If you haven't gone to Dierbergs, you should go. We go in the front door. I know what goes in the back door. I used to, when I was down in Houston, I was trying to become a pastor, okay? But I had to feed mom and the children. So I came in the back door with rainbow bread. And we had a section of bread. And rainbow had a section. It was a pretty big one because it was in southwest Houston. And in southwest Houston, that's where the equivalent of Dierbergs was located. It was called Randall's. I know what a grocery store ought to look like, and Randall's was it. And what do we have here in this area equal to Randall's? Dierbergs. I like to go shopping with Jo Henry because she shops at Dierbergs. It's right down the street, just right down the street over yonder. And you go in the door, and I know exactly what those people are doing. They know how to get the groceries out of the back room and out on the shelves. And then you'll go to the front of the store, and they'll check it out, and you put the little plastic thing in, and they'll let you go out front with it. And they have, I don't do bread anymore. I used to deliver it. But everybody needs bread, so to speak. And where do you go to get it? You go in the front door, and somebody's put the bread up on the shelf, and you can take whatever you want off that shelf, and you can buy it and go out the front door with it. I love grocery stores because somewhere out there in the hinterland, somebody was doing something. Farmers, herdsmen, people working in the earth. So you can eat food. So I hope that you, when you go in the next grocery store, you think, thank you, Jesus, for the back door. There ain't no back door. There ain't no groceries. That's Southern. We get to say ain't in the South. Georgos. He's a capitalist. Don't ever make fun of farmers. Those people know what they're doing, and they therefore put their life literally on the line, because the way the groceries come out of the ground has to do with rain. You have a drought, not many groceries, and the cost goes up unless the Democrats are running the economy. That's who we are. You have to eat. And who are the people that make it available to you to eat regularly? Farmers, ranchers. I like the ranchers too, because they grow cows. I like cow meat. Rare. Georgos, capitalist. Do you think anybody would do this if they were not getting anything beneficial for them personally? What if you were in a slave society like the Chinese do? Go out there and plow. Use that hoe. We'll let you get water occasionally during the day. But if you get tired and fall out, then you're not needed anymore. So we have a place called cemetery. Georgos would be a capitalist, a successful businessman, a man of wealth who invested his money. Remember that the Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it was written. He was not just a man of 40 acres and a mule, but thousands of acres in an agricultural economy. An agricultural economy. This man is a capitalist who has made a great financial investment. He has, for example, 50,000 acres and employs a large number of people to plant the seed. Planting of seed, in this illustration, is a picture of a capitalist investing his money and expecting a return from it. This is an example by James of an honorable believer farmer with doctrine who also has patience, noted later in verse 8. You put the seeds in the ground, it's all up to the earth and the rain. If you're going to farm, you got to have earth, dirt, and you're going to have rain. So in the early going, you have the early and latter rains. That's in the Bible. This is very particular for Israel, the country. They're at the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, with a few other little plots of water scattered around. But the weather comes from the west toward the east. And therefore, is it going to rain this year or not? Israel doesn't get much rain. I've already shown you that, and we'll see it again. I want to emphasize it in this context. What if it doesn't rain in Israel? Where do you get your groceries? Nobody's doing any plowing. This man is a capitalist who has made great financial investments. For example, 50,000 acres and employs a large number of people to plant the seed. See, he's got to pay these people. Planting the seed, in this illustration, is a picture of a capitalist investing his money and expecting a return from it. This is an example by James of an honorable believer farmer with doctrine who also has patience, and that's noted in verse 8. You've got to be patient. Is it going to rain? Well, no, it's Israel. You know, hardly ever rains. So how do you make a living? How do you survive? How do you be a capitalist in Israel? Well, you don't know if it's going to rain, and it rarely does. Once the seeds are in the soil, the capitalist must then waiteth. That's King James. He has waited, it says up there. Ekdekamai. What are you doing? I'm ekdekamaiing. I'm waiting. I put the seeds in. We have to back off and see if we can get some dew or something. It has the connotation of expectation or to look for something with expectancy. It is the same idea that if you could invest $50,000 in an oil lease anticipating a great return. Well, you stick a hole in the ground and see if oil comes out. They did that in Texas, and people would stand around and watch things spew up in the air, and you think, how are you going to get it out of the dirt? I used to wonder when that, I would see that in some movie, all that spewing going on. I'm thinking, they're all real excited because the oil is spewing up in the air and landing on the ground. Now, who washes the dirt to get the oil out? I never could figure that part out. But what they were realizing is just a spewing on the top and down below is an ocean of it. And the ocean is still there. We just can't go get it. No, we can't have this free enterprise. What we're going to do, is get an electric car. And we have an electric car. We can go, let's say, 150 miles, and we have to find a plug somewhere. And you stop and get in line where there's a thing poking up, and then you plug into it, and you wait an hour. So then you go another 100 miles. And a car that costs three times as much as a car that runs on gasoline. This is a brilliant idea. It has a connotation of expectation or to look for something with expectancy. How much longer? It's the same idea that if you could invest $50,000 in an oil lease anticipating a great return. See, a great return means capitalism. You dream about it, you think about it, you plan on it. Ekdekamai means to invest money in something and anticipate a profit. Why do you anticipate a profit? So I can put groceries on the table for my family. Pay the rent. Buy an electric car for an hour. Ekdekamai means to invest money in something and anticipate a profit. It is strictly one's confidence in the economic system of a thing called capitalism, which is the biblical concept of free enterprise. Why did God put all of that stuff here? Oil is in the ground. Oil is everywhere. It's free. All you have to do is go get it and process it and so on, and you can have all of these wonderful things like the lights burning. All the illustrations in the Bible which deal with the economy always are related to capitalism under free enterprise and thus a part of the laws of divine establishment. So here's a man who under free enterprise has made a great investment from which expects to receive a great return. The anticipation is described by the present middle indicative of ekdekamai. So behold, the farmer waits with expectation. Have you ever had a job, say your first job, and say we pay every Saturday at closing? Okay. And where do you go at closing time on Saturday? You go to somebody's room, some place, and then you stand in line, and then they shove money across. This, because you were here all week, and you did your duty, and you've come here to this place, we're going to give you some money. Why did you take that job in the first place? Was it because you wanted to help out the neighborhood? Say it's at a grocery store, and you think, all these people need food. I'm going to go try and help these people out. And I'm going to go in the back door, and I'm going to get a job and go out. I'm going to put things up on these shelves here. Okay. And then at a certain point, they're going to give me some money. So then I can go in the front door and get the groceries I just put up on the shelf with the money I just made the past week. See how that works? In the back door, out the front door, in the front door, back out the front door. called free enterprise. What if you don't have free enterprise? Who's going to give you the food? How do you get that food? What is it you like to eat? What if you decide you're not going to work anymore? You're just going to stay outside. Well, you'd have to kill your food. The things that you would kill don't want to be shot. How do you live? What is it you can do in order day by day to have the strength necessary to live a normal day? How can you do that? The only way is to have a system that enables you to use your own power, intellect, want to perform tasks for others, after which they're willing to pay you for your service so that you can go in the front door. Behold, the farmer waits with expectation. He's put all of his investment in the dirt. The present tense here is known as the iterative present. It describes that which occurs or recurs at successive intervals in an agricultural economy. In other words, there is a sequential process of sowing, followed by the harvest and then the profit. Sow, harvest, profit. The iterative present indicates the repeated action of the verb. You've got to keep on doing this. Keep on keeping on. Now, there's not always a profit. But in this illustration, the man is making a lot of money. Next year, again, you have sowing, and then you have the harvest, and then the bracket for the profit. The iterative present means he has done this before, he is doing it again this year, and he will do it the same thing again next year. He's learned how to exist. He's going to make money so he can buy the food that he grows from the front door of the grocery store. The iterative present means he's done it before, and he's doing it again. He'd do it the same way next year. How does he know this? Because the soul's ekdekamai mentality, capitalism works. The iterative present indicates that he has repeatedly done this before. He is a very excellent businessman. He utilizes his know-how and his property, his capital, to produce prosperity in a free enterprise system. Therefore, behold the agronomic capitalist who waits with confident expectation of a successful harvest. Well, we've gotten the groceries out of the field, so it's a good time to start. I went about 2 minutes long, but we'll be back here. Oh, let's see what I'm going to say. About quarter till the hour. Time to pause for tea and crumpets. See you back here then.